Our speaker this morning is Johnny Ferguson, a good friend of mine. He's from CFC in East Belfast and travelled with me to Malawi along with Terry Jarvis. And I'm going to hand it over to you, Johnny, if you want to come and share.
Right, so thanks for having me here. I'm always very blessed to sort of get to see what's going on here. I've really been blessed with sort of getting to know Step over the last couple of years, particularly with the trips to Malawi. It's been fantastic, really, to see something in a culture that he fosters and the relationships that have been built there. Step had asked me to share a wee bit about Malawi, and then to share a wee bit about what Paul's talking to me about at the moment. The trip this year was a wee bit different. We went to Mozambique as well, and we'll touch in on that, but just want to take you through a wee bit of what happened, what we did, and what God did in the midst of it. Then we have a lovely picture of Malawi. And in this one, we came in initially to Blantyre, down in the south there. And for the River of Life Evangelical Church in Malawi that we're hooking in with, that's sort of their base of operations, but they've got churches right throughout the country. Most of you guys know this, but one of them are really into it. But it's one there. The cool thing that had happened this year, this is the church in Chirimba. And for some of you guys who've been out to Malawi and have seen the spot there, they've been trying to get this built for a few years now. And that's the church built. They've got a few bits to finish off. They've plastered and do all that sort of crap. But this is the church in Chirimba, and it's up. And that's the interior of it, or a bit of it anyway. And the fantastic umbrella, who you guys will remember. But it's, for me, just as a starting point, these guys, one of the things that I love about the culture that they have in their group of churches out there is just that they stretch themselves and they go past what they're really able to do. And in that sense, they have done a lot throughout Malawi into Mozambique over the last several years when they could have been building this. And the vision and the intention was there that, no, we stretch and we go further. And then this came, this was built largely over the course of this past year. But it's again seeing that there's progress there. But it's one of the things with the church out there, they stretch beyond themselves. It's cool. One of the things that sort of marked our time out there, terrible photo, but taking photos with your at night with your camera phone, not really, I haven't figured out the knack anyway. But this was just to sort of give a bit of a flavour of the fact that pretty much every night that we were out and about, we were doing evangelism with the guys, and it was sort of either a load of music and we pull a crowd together, and then someone preaches, we pray for folk, people come to Jesus. So that was most evenings that we were out there, and just there was always a crowd pulled in, always a few hundred people, always a whole crowd of kids. And just great crack, and they really engaged with it, which was fantastic. This was a photo from one of the first spots we went to, which was Chikawanda, which is quite near to Blantyre. This was the norm. And for those guys as well, it was just, this is what we do, which is just fantastic to see and touch and sort of get a flavour for. With Chikawanda, we also followed up the following day, and we had a whole crowd of folk to pray for, and again that was the normal form. You did your bit in the evening, and then the following day, there's a load of needs now, and there's a load of folks who want prayer. They want to see God move in the midst of a lot of marriages, in the midst of a lot of sickness and all of that, and it's one of those ones you share to encourage them, and you just pray and trust God to move. It's fantastic. And as always, step playing with a bunch of kids. In this instance, throwing his hat on them. Whatever works. So that was Chickawanda. The cool thing, we spent a couple of days working with the guys there, and this was a new church plant, and this was their, well, we started a new church, now we need to grow it, so we'll evangelize, and it was just that thing. It was like second nature to these guys, and it's that, the thing that excites me so much about it, and why I went back, and why I'm just delighted to be able to touch with them and be friends with them, is just that the heart is always, it's not about what we've got within these four walls, it's we want to stretch beyond, and we want to reach further, and we want to see God move more, we want to see our nation transformed. And it's one that, as we move on to the next slide, the cool thing, one of the most fantastic things for me this year, was that with their church conference, they took that into Mozambique this year. And this is us there. To be fair, it was just across the border by 70 kilometres over, to call it road doesn't really, yeah. It was like driving over a plough field. And we went in towards Sangano, but the place itself is Punyera in Mozambique. And it's, basically, the thing that was outstanding for me about this was they took the church conference out of Malawi. So the vast majority of the delegates, for the first time in their lives, left Malawi. And it was that thing for them. And talking with Mvula, part of his heart in that was, we want these guys to get a vision beyond what they thought was capable. Mm-hmm. And that intentionality of, we're casting vision onto these guys. Mm-hmm. We're calling them further than what they would have thought or expected. And I love that heart. The time in Mozambique was class. It's a beautiful place. The people were fantastically hospitable. They went out of their way to look after us wonderfully. We just got to see a whole crowd of folks who God's moving through. That's lovely scene. And moving on there, that's the church we were working with. This is a church that's already been established for some years in Punyera. And if we go on again there, it's we've got Terry, who was out with us, trying to arrange a photo shoot from struggling. Kids, look at the camera. So that was the time in Punyera. It was just a fantastically rich time with a lot of the leaders from the churches there, and just getting to sort of see them, get to know them, share with them, and hear a wee bit of what God's doing and amongst them was fantastic. And after that, we had a bit of a hairy trip to Mbululu, which is the one place that I don't actually know where it is on the map, so I've approximated somewhere in that sort of general direction. So, and Google Maps could do no better for me or something like that, so I don't think it hasn't really got to our own Malawi. But again, it was one of those ones there in Mbululu. We got to touch in with a church that was there. We got to do evangelism with them, we got to play football with them. One of the things that we should mention is that over the course of the trip, it was Northern Ireland 4, mm-hmm. Malawi now, in terms of, so we kept our end of the, or we kept our side up all right there. So it was one of those ones. We played a load of football with the kids and just had a lot of crack in the afternoon. We got to sort of speak into the churches there, and one of the cool things in Mbululu was we got to get a load of the church leaders there and just do Q&A with them, and it was just that thing of ask all these questions that are awkward and and respond to that. And it was cool just sort of starting to foster that culture of, use your voice in the thing. Sure. It's not just a, and they're very good in singing and all of that sort of thing. The music is incredible. And without an instrument to be seen half the time. But it was just that thing of use your voice is beyond it. It's not about the one guy up at the front. It's about you guys. You're the ones who do the works of ministry. Mm-hmm. What they're there to do is to enable you in that direction. So that was cool. And then we headed on up to Cape Maclear and Mungombo. And for some of you guys, you'll have been to the lake, and you haven't been to Moali until you've been to the lake. This is there are certain phrases that you hear whenever you go to Malawi. It's Malawi, it's the warm heart of Africa. That's what everyone says, and it is. But it's also you haven't been to Malawi until you've had Chambo, and you haven't been to Malawi until you've been to the lake. So Chambo is a particular fish, and the lake. And the lake's beautiful. So this was a Cape Maclear, and this picture is actually in Mungombo. The guys at Cape Maclear, there was a church planted there through an outreach that had been done with guys from here, from Kingsway, probably 6 years ago. Mm. And it was something there that they have already planted a church in Mungombo. This was the church that we were at. Part of what we were doing there was just sharing and encouraging them, but then that ended up also being, here's where we're trying to get a bit of land to build a building. This is the church at Cape Maclear. It now has a roof on it, now has a floor on it, and it's one that they're again progressing on to get that finished. So some of that the money for the roof and the floor came from donations from you guys, and it's it's there, it's up, and they're using the building, and it's one of the things that was a real privilege to be in on. And in Cape Maclear, there've been some difficulties in the church over the last year, and it's somewhere that I would really encourage you to be praying about. God's doing fantastic things amongst them. But there's also been a lot of difficulty, and just that sort of difficulty whenever you're stretching beyond where you can actually reach in human terms, the difficulties that happen with that. Some of you guys would have touched in with Brighton and Justice there, and over the course of the last year there was a bit of a falling out, but there's also been a bit of a reconciliation as well. But it's just that thing of, as in life, as in everything, that there are these issues that they're walking through, and I would just ask you to pray particularly for the guys there. There's also a change in leadership that's going on with Justice going down to take over the church in Chirimba, and Peter Malera, who some of you would know, is going up to look after the church in Cape Maclear, or that's the intention. They're working with some of the pastoral guys out there. And here we have, besides Step, with Peter Malera, Justice in the middle, Pastor Mvula, and then Terry. It's one that Peter and Justice are two of the key up-and-coming leaders in the group of churches there. And I would really encourage you to pray for them. They're both just out of Bible college. Peter had pastored the church in Chirimba for a period of time before going to Bible college, and he's now come through that and is going to look after the church in Cape Maclear. Justice graduated last year, he's been in Cape Maclear this past year and is going down to Chirimba to look after the church there. But he's had a very difficult year with the issue with Brighton, but also while we were out there, his younger brother passed away. So it's something just that there's been a year of real challenge and difficulty. To my eye, that's something that is both difficult, but it's also quite exciting. Mm. In that God's God's working into him resources and an ability to sort of stand in spite of difficulty. And certainly that's been the case with him. There's been a real determination to press on in spite of the difficulty that there's been there. And to me, that's wonderfully encouraging to see. So it's one of the three guys in the middle there, Mvula, who's heading things up. Justice, who's taking on the church in Chirimba and has had a year of real difficulty. And Peter, who's stepping up to keep me clear. I would really encourage you to be praying for those three guys in particular on an ongoing basis. I know you guys are sponsoring Justice and I think Peter as well, along with a couple of the other leaders there. But just to for those guys in particular, I would encourage you to be praying for them. That's to give you a little bit of an overview of what's happening in Malawi, and it's something that the thing that resounds from the guys there. They are an indigenous church in Malawi, and they're very conscious. You know, we don't want to step into this dependency culture of we're relying so much on what comes in from the West and all that. But they are hugely, hugely appreciative of the connection that they have with Kingsway. It's something that to them, not really from a financial point of view, although they massively appreciate that. But they so appreciate the vision that's brought in, the perspective, the richness of fellowship that there has been, across from one side of the world to the other. It's something that they're appreciative of that connection, and they wish to see that continue. And again, just from my side of it, the thing that I was so impressed by and touched by is that these guys stretch beyond themselves in God, in faith, and there's an excitement in my heart about that. But also they've seen a lot of what's going on in and around them. They've seen those other churches who are supported entirely from the West, and how that that to some extent emasculates the church locally, and it's something there that they're very determined not to step into that, and not to be caught up in that. But it's one that they need your ongoing prayers, they need the ongoing connection, and it's something that I would encourage you guys to touch in with them. For guys who have had connections, these guys need your ongoing connection, your ongoing prayers, your ongoing investment there, and they're good soil to plant in as well. They're fantastic folk. That's a bit of what went on. There's an awful lot more that could be fleshed out in that. God did fantastic things. There were people who he's working wonderful things in and amongst that group. And it's one that, I would say the next number of years with them will be exciting to observe and to see what God's doing. That's it. That's a bit of the trip. Stephen also asked me to share a wee bit of what was on the heart, what God was doing with me, I want to share. I'm not going to take too long with this. But I want to share a few wee thoughts with you. And some of this I touched on while I was in Malawi, and some of this has been brewing in me for a bit of time. But I just want to share with you. I've sort of given a half a title of The Walk of a Son, it's one of those things that God's really been speaking to me significantly and drawing on in me, drawing me on in him. And it's something that I just want to sort of, again, cast that wee bit of vision into you guys. A lot of you have been further on the road than I have, and and have had wonderful experiences in God, and have seen Him move in fantastic ways. But I want to encourage you again that no matter where we've gone to, no matter the distance that we've travelled with Him, there's always more. And there's always, I think whenever we talk about being a child of God and being sons of God, and I use son in a very deliberate sense, because from a biblical point of view, the son was the one who inherited. And it's one that I'm not talking, I'm using son as we interact with it in a gender neutral term, because we are all inheritors of the kingdom. So it's not that I'm using that terminology deliberately, but I want to sort of share a few things in and around that. To give us a wee bit of a window into that, I'm going to start off in the parable of the lost son. And it's one I'd shared a little bit of that with some guys in a home group here a while back. But it's one that parable for me has been, you know, the story of Ruth, where Boaz comes along to the to his workmen, and Ruth is going along and gathering a bit of grain so that she can grind it and eat it and all that sort of thing. But Boaz comes along and says to his workmen, keep an eye on that one Ruth, and drop a handful here and there. And for me, it's like the parable of the lost son over the last while has been that place where there's been a handful, and there's been a whole heap of revelation for me in there. And I just want to draw a couple of points out to you from it. We all know the story, but I'll read it and sort of run through fairly quickly here. It's in Luke 15, verse 11. I'm reading from the NIV. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to the father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard the music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So, and in this, there are a few things to note about the son's walk, and also, obviously, about the father's heart. And it's something, again, that's been building in me for a period of time. And it's just that thing that, as sons of God, as we interact with the kingdom, it's something that I think a lot of the times our posture unto the Lord and our intention and our interaction with him can be just that little bit awry. And it's something that, because we're called to a place of humility, but we're also sons.
Right.
And that gives us an authority to stand in. And it's something that interaction between that humble place, but also with heads up, and with an assurance and a confidence, and it's something that I think God's calling us on to that posture, and it's one that, you know, that will have different outworkings in all of our different lives and all of our different walks. But there's something that he's calling us to, for those of us who've taken on that humble posture, like the older son, he said he'd been slaving away for the father, and it's one, but you're not a slave, you're a son.
That's good.
And you need to live like that.
Mm-hmm.
You need to live with an eye on the inheritance. It's something for me, I have the great delight of working with my father. We run a business together and are partners in that. And it's something that for me, I've been very conscious of how that interaction has developed over the years. And it's something I think that sometimes because that's not necessarily our norm, we need to understand that whenever God was using the metaphor of fathers and sons, the norm in scriptural times was that the son went into the father's business. That was what happened. And it's something that I think we need to develop our understanding of what it is to be a son in the light of that. It's something that as we interact with God, as we walk with him, it's not just about knowing protection in him. It's not just knowing about knowing friendship in him. But also we have to step into knowing purpose with him.
Mm-hmm.
We have to step into to being apprentices in the business with him.
Mm-hmm.
We have to step into knowing his ways, knowing how he goes about things. One of my favourite scriptures in the whole Bible is in Psalm 103. And the verse itself is is verse 7, but I'll read 6 to 8. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. It's that bit about he made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. And there's something about Moses, who was a friend of God, and actually starting to know not just the things that he does, not just saying, God, you're doing good things here, but actually having that interaction with him. God, you know, I see that. What's going on behind it? What's your intention here? What's your heart? And actually, I think that God's calling us to a place of actually questioning him much more,
mm-hmm.
But not with an accusation. And that's often the case, as we hear, you know, God, why did you do that? And it's with an anger, mm-hmm. and it's with an accusation in it. But actually, God's very happy to hear the question. So why did you do that, God? What were you working there?
Mm-hmm.
What was your intention in that?
That's good.
Because we know he's good.
Mm-hmm.
We know he's kind.
Mm-hmm.
We know he has worked wonders in the earth. We know he has a plan for the end. He knows the end from the beginning. Mm-hmm. One of my favourite pictures of him, he knows the start from the end. And it's that thing that, yeah, we're just being called, I think, to start to ask those questions in a more calm sense. And like for me, whenever I was doing doing a sales pitch with my dad or something like that. We would both go in, and I was the one who knew technically what was going on. My dad knew how to talk to people. And like whenever we started the business, 22, 23-year-old, stepping in to try and talk to 50-year-old farmers, because our business, we sell into the agricultural sector. But it's that thing you start to try and talk, and very quickly you realise, shut up, just listen. There's a bit of learning to be had here, and it's one that and as we progress and as we grow, we're not asking the same questions anymore. We're asking different ones.
It's good.
It's that thing that it's one that some of the questions we ask, we don't get an answer straight away.
Mm-hmm.
But it's being able to ask those questions and not get an answer and actually be okay with that, because we trust him.
Mm-hmm.
We know he's good.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love.
That's good.
So that's his character, that's who he is. And in the light of that, we can start to inquire as to his ways. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I think that God's calling us on to ask those questions, to grow. And the thing from my side of it, working in the family business, it's something that I started in it about 12 years ago now. It's one that within about 3 or 4 years, my dad had made me a partner. But it was something that I didn't have any appreciation of what that was, probably for another 3 or 4 years, because it didn't change what I was getting at the end of the month. It didn't change much of the interaction between us, because I was still learning my trade. But it was it's something then that as we grow in that, as we start to get mastery of what we're about, we start to understand his ways. We start to be able to actually engage with more confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've been around these roads before. So we know who he is, we know how to walk with him, we know and there's not the need for such a long conversation. There's a need for a nod.
Mm-hmm.
That what needs to be said. And amongst guys, generally, the less that needs to be said, the better. It's one that and between me and my father, we'll talk about the business at the end of the day and all that sort of thing, but then in general conversation, a nod here or just a wee look, and you're like, and the two of us will praise ourselves laughing, and no one else will know what's going on, but we've walked through stuff together.
Yeah.
And it's that thing of, as we walk with God, there's a knowing of him, and just the catching that glimpse of him. It can be in worship. It can be in. It can be in when you're getting your groceries. It can be in the middle of a meeting in work or something like that. But you just get a glimpse of him in the midst of that, and it's
very good.
Yeah, yeah. And there's that peace, confidence, strength that comes in the midst of all of that. But it's something that. So for me, whilst I was a partner, I didn't know it. And I think whilst we are sons and we have an inheritance, we often don't know the fullness of that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an unfolding understanding of that God's calling us into. He's looking to draw us on further in him. He's wanting us to be able to stand and know the authority of sons. Because that's the thing that we look at the parable of the talents. And it's something that the servants who got a little used it, and it's that thing that as we get an understanding of God, we use it and we put it to work. He will give us a set of gifts, a set of talents, and sometimes he'll lead us to it because he trusts us with it. Trusts us with it. But it's that thing of starting to know. Just to be able to rest in that.
Mm.
That he's not going to be always close at hand, because he trusts that I've put enough into you that you know where you're going here. The Holy Spirit's with you. He never abandons us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. But there's that sense in which I'm actually quite excited to see what you do here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm quite excited to, and I mean, he knows, but it's that thing that he's quite excited to see what we get about. And there's that liberty in it, but there's also a responsibility in it as well. And there's that unfolding authority that he gives us in the kingdom. It's something that you know, we have the scriptures of that whatever you ask for in heaven and all those sorts of bits, and it's one that in the Great Commission, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. And there is that thing of, in that he's transferring authority onto us, but how we walk in that authority and how we live that out is an unfolding thing.
Yeah.
You know, the talents were still given. The guy got one talent, obviously, because he hadn't proved himself yet. The guy who got two had already improved himself a bit, the five, the ten, all that. And it's that thing that to him who is faithful, more will be given. There's just that calling to step on and to be drawn on in him. And he's very gracious, he's very able to do that effectively. But for me, just then there's something about his authority that he wants to unfold to us, and it's not something that we can put in a box or it's a 1-2-3 to get there. You need to interact with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose that's the thing ultimately that I want to leave with you. That we need to develop our conversation with our Father. For me, that's the thing that has been, I suppose, the picture of authority has been, and how I step into more of it. Not to say that I've done much of that, but that I've had a glimpse of what it is, and I'm going after it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's I think the thing that. That I want to hopefully leave, that there's a bit of a glimpse of, you know, that this is a road that we can walk, and God can unfold much more of his kingdom to us than we've seen to date. No matter what stage we're at in the journey, that there is a calling on into more uncertainty in him, but also quite an exciting place in that. I want to leave that with you, and be delighted to pray for you. So, Father, I bless you for this group of people here, and for what you've done with them today, Father, for the nations that you've touched through them, Father, for the community here that you touched through them, Father, I bless you that this is a group of people that are reaching beyond their bounds, Father, and that they have a heart to see down the way and what the potential of what you can call them into. So, Father, I just call on you to come by your Spirit in a new and an exciting way.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, that you will inspire vision.
Yeah.
You will give them a fresh understanding of your purpose for them individually, but in a broader sense as well, Father. Father, that you would reignite for some people in here, that sense of excitement in you, and a longing to be resting in you and not in the in the form that they've worked through.
Right.
So, Father, I just lift this group of folk up to you, infuse them with your Spirit in a new and mighty way.
Thank you, Father.
I think with you, God, I'm excited about what you've got for them.
Amen. Amen.